We're gonna wrap up the topic of Yerusha now, which really, in a sense, as we see, is gonna come full circle with what we started all the way back at the beginning of the Zman. After Sukkot, we started with the topic of Dina de Machusa Dina. We went from there to Arkois and then to Yerusha, and we're gonna see today, we're wrapping it up, it's gonna come full circle. Now, Lemaisa, everything we discussed till now, we were talking about when we started this topic in Yerusha about what's a mutter and what's aser. Okay? So are you allowed to disinherit heirs? Let's say someone doesn't have any children and the only it's very common. We said a few common scenarios when someone would want to do that. For example, let's say they only have adopted children. Adopted children don't yarshin. So his third cousin is going to yarshin, you know, because that's his closest relatives. He doesn't want his third cousin to yarshin. He would rather his adopted children to get the Yerusha. So he wants to cut out the Yerush Lagamri. Not allowed to do that. So, you know, or to give a daughter when you have sons. All these things. So we've discussed about the heter of doing such a thing is that ain racham noicha emenu. Okay? But at the end of the day, we had a terim for daughters, we had a terim for the wife, we had a terim for different things. And the main heter was if you don't go with the chasam sofer, as long as you keep over some money to follow with the Yerusha. Okay? Or if you exclude Svarim and Karkois, like was the minig in the Shtar Chatzi Zachar. Okay? So, or you do, but there's a bigger problem, okay? And the bigger problem is like this, and very common, and people don't know it. And the bigger problem is that, let's say you figured out a heter, you didn't figure out a heter, but that's just a shail of ein racham noicha emenu. But there's another problem. And the problem is that if a person didn't learn the halachas properly, and he wasn't advised properly of how to divide up his estate, halachically, so all he did was write a will. Now, his will is halachically, let's say, this question that we're going to be dealing with today is, his will, does it have any halachic ramifications, any halachic toikif? And if not, then forget the fact that you disinherited the people. The people that took the money are gazlanim. Because just like we said in Dina de Machusa Dina, very nice, halachically, legally you have a right. But if halachically it's not your money, so the question is, the person that went ahead and took the Yerusha based on the will, he's a gazlan. So we spoke last week. Let's get to that. But I'm saying the issue I want to deal with is that if a person just wrote a secular will, and it could be very common in a scenario when other people are, let's say, not religious, or they don't interested in following the halacha. So they're following the secular will and they take the money, but the person who knows the halacha knows that it's his money. It belongs to him. So is he moichel? Is he mechuyiv to be moichel so that they shouldn't be gzela? Is it gzela biyadam? What's the story, right? So if this is much more chomer theoretically, you know, and at kidekach that I saw in a sefer deals with the shayla. If you buy from, if maybe you shouldn't buy property from someone that yarshined, from a woman who yarshined from her parents. Because maybe they didn't do it halachically correctly, and she's again, and she's gzela. She doesn't have right to that property. So she stole the property from her brother. And now you're going to go buy stolen property, and there's no shinui by ganeva. So lemais, it's a problem, right? So the bottom line is a person just was soymech on a secular will, is it mamish ganeva biyadam? So aside from the fact if you're allowed to, you're not allowed to, but in mamish, maybe it's mamish ganeva. So we spoke last week about some halachic ways to transfer the estate in a way that would have kiyum and halacha. And obviously the best way is to give it away mechayim. Just make a matana mechayim. But the problem is people don't want to make a matana mechayim. First of all, because they hope to live a long life and they want to spend their money the way they want. They don't want to give it away now. Number one. Number two is that if you give it away mechayim, it only works on the stuff that you had at the time of the kinyan. Let's say a guy's 70 years old, he's not feeling well, he makes a kinyan, everything he has. Okay, and then he lives another 10 years and over that 10 years, he made another $100,000 profit from his investments. So that stuff wasn't included in the kinyan. So to just make a kinyan is not so convenient either. Okay? So we said one mahalak is matna shchiv mira, but matna shchiv mira only works if you taka shchiv mira. And another thing we said was kibud avim. We spoke of the chuvas of kivayger. The kibud avim is not so posher because that's only mishel av, not mishel ben. So you're not mechuyev to follow that. The other thing was mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, which is what you said. But the one glitch with mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, which we spoke last week, is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Resh Pei Aleph, that mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, that means that there's a mitzvah to fulfill the words, what the meis was mitzvah, is only if it was mushlash l'shem kach, that he already gave it over to a third party with the intention of fulfilling the words. Okay, so for example, if he said, you know, I want Pliny, I want my daughter to be the beneficiary, and I already gave it to, I put it in an escrow that I don't have access to, but she's going to get a lachar misa. So that, Taka, there's a mitzvah of l'kaim divrei ames.
You may as well give him a ton of time.
What?
You may as well give him a ton.
Oh, so you may as well give him a time. So, misa, okay, we'll get to that in a second. But that's the inyan of mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames. Only works if mushlash l'shem kach. If you already mashlash it, you already gave it away to a third party. So if you did that, it would work. But a will is not necessarily doing that. Okay, so this is a trust. So if a trust could fall under this. Now, what's the purpose of a trust? Just give it away. So first of all, maybe for tax ramifications, you don't want to give tax. Well, Matana Mechaim asks the IRS. I don't know. But there's a difference, right?
There is.
Mushal Shakach means they don't have bios on it yet, though.
Can I be Chayzer?
That's a Machoikis if you could be Chayzer. I don't know if you could be Chayzer.
It's not
full fledged. Pashkas, you can't be Chayzer. But the so an irrevocable trust would fall into this category for sure. Because an irrevocable trust, even if you're the trustee on it, but the bottom line is already Mushal Shakach, you just
can
make decisions. But right, you can't change your mind. So now, why didn't you give it away? You could ask that cash on a revocable trust also. Taxes for taxes, or because you don't want them to spend it yet. Right? They're not responsible enough yet. So you would rather, you don't want to give them $1 million now to a 20-year-old or 15-year-old kid. So
why is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames only if it's
So now here's the shiloh. Why is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames only if it was mashlash l'shem kach? It's a mitzvah. You're supposed to give it, follow what the mace said. What does that have to do with mushlash l'shem kach? So most mefarshim say the reason why it has to do with mushlash l'shem kach is because that's the only time we see that he took it seriously. Every time a guy could say something, you know, I wish, can you imagine after I die that Chveis, you know, you would write a Sefer Torah for me, you would, you know, buy this property and... Okay, very nice. You wish it, but that doesn't mean that I'm telling you to do it. But if I set aside money, Nechaim, and I said, this money, after I die, use this to write a Sefer Torah. Right? Or use this to give that family that has no money, I want to marry off that child. I have a lot of cards to take to my neighbors. I want to marry off their daughter. They have no money. Give this money to them when the daughter gets married. I want to use this money to marry off their daughter. So then I see you took it seriously. If you just say, oh, I wish that I could help this family so much, and then he dies. You don't necessarily see that he took it seriously. So mashlish l'shem kach kipshuta is a varning gemiras das. Okay. Now with these akdamas, let's start dealing now with the shayla we started. What happens with a secular will? A person doesn't do any kinyanim. He doesn't do any ways to get out of it. Like we said last week, is that the standard way halachically that a person could be mekayim his will? Okay, is that they write a will. And then they write an addendum basically to the will saying...
This has priority.
That, no, not priority. What they say is, let's say his hashar is he wants to split his nechasim amongst his children. So he has two daughters and two sons. So what he does is, let's say, and he owns $3 million. So he's going to give one son a million, one son a million, and the other daughter $1 million. But you can't do that halachically. So what you do is, you write a shtar chatzi zachar, zachar shalem, or whatever it is. And what you write is that you make the whole will. And then you write on the next page, another page, and you say, I'm mechayiv myself $2 million to my daughter. I owe my daughter $2 million with a tanai that she, it's only the zman gvia, it's payable only the day before Misa. And with another tanai that the sons could pat her up if they give her a third of the Yerusha. So if they give her a third of the Yerusha, they're pater from the Chayiv. So as long as you made the Hischayiv is greater than what you can imagine your a third of the Nechasim will be, then she'll be guaranteed to get at least a share in the Yerusha because the sons aren't going to pay the man of the debt. It's not going
to
die for them.
The Yerusha goes to the sons because they have to give her.
Exactly. So they have to pay the Chayiv. So instead of being papay the Chayiv, so that's the halachic way, more or less, to Mekayim Divrei Ames. The halachic way to Mekayim a will is you write the will and then you write a Chayiv. You're at a chayiv greater than the amount of the will.
Did you want to give the for
Pashtus not. No, I don't think so. You're not mechayiv yourself anything. It's davar shein mesuyim. You can't be mechayiv yourself. It's like the Beis Halevi asks. That's not a davar mesuyim. The Beis Halevi asks Akasha, how was Bnei Yisrael allowed to say nasa v'nishma? They were mechayiv themselves in something they didn't know. You can't be mechayiv yourself in davar shein mesuyim. So you can't be mechayiv yourself. So his teretz is that it wasn't what they didn't know. They were mechayiv themselves to become avdei Hashem. So an eved, how do you ever sell yourself as an eved? I don't know if he's going to want me to polish his shoes or he's going to want me to clean the bathrooms.
Doesn't matter
because the chefts of the eved is what's mechayiv. So he says that was nasav nishma. They became avdei Hashem. That was the point. So I'm saying you keep mechayiv yourself. So. You could make your daughter your Eved, I'm saying. Okay, so now, so that's the halachic way to do it with the mechanism of a shtar chatzi zachar, and that would be the ideal way if a person's, got proper halachic advice about how to do his thing. He would either do irrevocable trusts, basically. Yeah, and he would do a regular will with a choif. Okay, but what happens if a person did not do that? He just wrote a will. Okay, so is there any halachic basis for a will? And the reason that's important is because if there's not a halachic basis for a will, are the people that take the money who are not halachic heirs, but they take the money based on the will, are they ganavim? Is it gazela? Okay, so. Basically, based on this, there's the Rabbi Yashiv in the Koivis Chuvis, which is the first page, brings down a big chiddush from Rabbi Chaim Oizer in the Achiezer, and he also brings it down from a Chuvah sefer called the Minchas Shai. Basically, Rabbi Chaim Oizer, his Lashon, which I mean, since I have a copy of the Rabbi Chaim Oizer, we may as well look at it inside. It's the fourth page in the booklet, which means, yeah. It's page Lamed, what does it say there? Lamed Zayin. Yeah. So he says like this, where it's the arrow on the top of the left column. El the Bishayel Sechu is Binyan Tzion, which is the Aruch Lener. So the Binyan Tzion says, Mitzad de Bimokum de Eina Yershim Muchzakim, Yesh Lismach al Hanachshitus de Savi, de Amrinan Mitzvah Lakayim Divre Amez, Gambeloi Hushlash Lashem Kach, Hechashet Siva Losses Lachamiz. So first of all, there's a binyan tzion that says that you could rely on the shittas that hold the mitzvah kam divrei meis in all circumstances, even without mushlash l'shem kach. So that's one maybe raya or one place to be soimach on a will is al mitzvah kam divrei meis, even though it wasn't mushlash l'shem kach. But then he says a major chiddush gam. This is where it's double underlined.
It's a chiddush that Trump tells us Yerusha.
Yeah. But if it's mitzvah kam divrei meis anyway, does that? That's the point of mitzvah kam divrei meis. But then he says like this. So zok tov chaim oizer a major chiddush. Zok tov chaim oizer like this. Gam mikvar hayisi mitzadid loymar. By the way, Reb Chaim Oizer was the undisputed Gadol Hador before the war, basically. And whatever he wrote, which is, he wrote four halakim, wasn't, but whatever he wrote was very, very authoritative. I mean, it's very strong because at that time he was the mamish, the Gadol Hador. He was a goyin oilam. And they say that he could write five tshuvas at the same time, or two tshuvas at the same time.
Different hands?
Different hands, yeah. Goyin oilam. So anyway, but he writes over here a major chiddush. So he says, "Gam mikvar ha'isi mitzadid loymar." I have a suffix to say. Now, Reb Chaim Oizer having a suffix doesn't mean that he woke up on the wrong side of the bed one day. It means that he went through the whole sugya and he thinks that could be that this is the pshat. So he says, "The hecha shemishetziva hames litein loy hu muchzok mitamdina demachusa bikiyum atzava idei arkois loy ba'inan hushlosh mitchila lekach." That the whole purpose, mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, is only if you started the process. You gave it, like in my case. I want to name that yeshiva building, okay? I don't want to do it now because I still want access to the money, but I'm putting the money aside. I want to still get the payers of it. Let's say I want it to be invested or whatever, but I'm putting it in the trust, and I want that l'achar misa, that money should go to the yeshiva. So you're already taking him seriously. So what happens if, he says, if you write a will, and the will is enforceable in court, so since he wrote a will that he knows is enforceable in court, so therefore that's already a level of Gemira's Das that's equal to the level of Gemira's Das of a Mashlish L'Shem Kach. That's what Chaim Oizer wants to say. So if he basically said, he writes in his will that I want the yeshiva to get that amount of money to name the building, So he's basically already taking it seriously enough because he knows the yeshiva could take this document to court and get the money, right?
Right.
Oh, and second, I'm saying, but Lamais Dinan Machusa would say that they could get it, right? So since he knows that it's, there's a taikif to his words, it's enforceable in court, and there's a din of Dinan Machusa Dina. So Memela, he says that's considered already mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. That's Reb Chaim Moisa's major chiddush. Okay. Ella, he says, shalom matzasi gilui l'din zeh. Lamais, I haven't found anywhere that says this, but he does say that, by the way, by a neder l'tzedakah, it could be for sure it's good that you have to honor it, because tzedakah is different, because tzedakah, there's a mitzvah for him to mekayim it, whatever. He goes on to explain why tzedakah would be different a neder. But this is the Reb Chaim Oizer, okay? And similar to that is in the next tshuva, is the Minchas Shai, if you look on the next page, where it's underlined. It says, Omnam benidin didan lekuli alma gam la'arash b'vsiyatu tzrichim ha'yorshim l'kayim kefit tzavas aviyim mekoyach mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames kemavur b'shas v'af b'bari sh'tziv ha'meis shayich mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames ay v'unosan l'shem kach mekomakum benidin didan nir bar tzrichim ha'banim l'kayim gam b'loy nosan l'shlish. So he says, a will is enforceable, it's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, even without mashlish l'shem kach. That's the Minchas Shai says, and he gives a few other reasons for that, okay? And one of them is because if you look at the next page, he explains why. He says, you don't have to give away the money. I'm giving it away to some stranger that's an outsider. For that, in order to take me seriously, you have to have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But if you're going to give it to your daughters, because you know that the estate law in the country you live in would recognize the daughters as heirs of the estate. So if they want to go to court, they could go to court and get the estate. So since the daughters could get the estate in court, you kind of, when you're giving it to them, you're going to das that they're going to get it. What? No, you didn't write to me. Because you wrote $1 million in the will, and then you're machayiv yourself $2 million, but you have a tenai there that they could patur it. So that's also part of it. Yeah, but they're going to go to court, and the court is going to say, fine. So it's up to the sons. Do they want to give you the $2 million, or do they want to split the estate?
Either or.
Yeah, they have the option. So you're right, but. So basically, Zakt the Minchas Shai similar that since in court, in Dina de Machusa Dina, they have a way to get the money. So when the person gives a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames on that, it's already taking it seriously, and it's called mushlash l'shem kach. Okay. So this is the Minchas Shai. This is the Reb Chaim Oizer. So we go back to the beginning of the pamphlet. Go back to Reb Yashiv. Now, what do you think? Do you think Rabbi Yashar is going to like this, or do you think Rabbi Yashar is not going to like this? It's a big chiddush. So Rabbi Yashar says like this. Not on the first page, but on the second page, he basically goes on, and I'll say it outside. Basically, Rabbi Yashar goes on to say that he says, I don't understand. He says, Bishlama, if the Yerusha or part of the Yarshim are not from. So he says, if they're not from, then I know that they're going to go to court. I know that myself. The father himself knows that they're going to not go to court. They're going to go to court. Right? And I know that they're going to follow the secular law of the estate. They're going to push for that. So if I write in the will something that they could get anyway through going to secular court, so then Rabbi Yashav says, I hear that there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames on that. But if the whole Yorshim are from, so like David said, they're not going to court. They're going to go to Beis Din. So Zokta B'Yashav, what type of business is this? That if everyone's from, all of a sudden you're going to say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames because Dina the Malchusa would have said that they could have gone to court?
It's the mile of a will then, according to that. And where's the, isn't it just
Gemir's what?
Das? Is it just Gemir's Das?
So he's saying there's no Gemir's Das on Dina de Machusa. There's no Gemir's Das on a firm guy going to court.
Why was there a will written then?
What?
Why was there a will written?
Well, who cares why it was written, but it doesn't call L'shem Kach. He thinks that they'll follow the will. He doesn't think that they're going to follow secular court.
No, but my story is he wrote the will as a will. He didn't put it, he didn't write the second page of the Matan Lechayim.
But the guy wrote in the will also, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis, that he wanted them to give the money to the yeshiva. But that's not strong enough. He knows that it may not be followed. The Vort of Chaim Oizer is because since he knows that there's an extra toikif to the will, that they can enforce it in court, and they're probably going to, so what their chelik is so strong, then I have a gemira's das. But if the guy's from, and he thinks, he doesn't think they're going to go to court, he thinks that the pshat is that the Beis Din will recognize a secular will. So he made a toys. Huh? So he's wrong. What?
Because the Beis Din would go back to the Din of Yerushim. If they can't do the Din of Yerushim, they'll go to...
No, so they're gonna. The Beis Din's gonna say the will is garnished and go back to Yerusha. Right.
It's a question on his Gemiras Das. He thought the
Beis Din was going to listen to his Das. Gemiras Das. He also thought that people were gonna listen to his Sivui Mechaim, but Chazal telling us in Shulchan Aruch that it's not enough that level Gemiras Das. You need an extra level. You did a Maisa based on that. So Mashal Shkach. So it's an extra Chiddush that the level of, you know, since they have the money in Dina de Machusa, that's a level of Gemiras Das. But a guy that is from children, why would he think about Dina de Machusa? Why would he think about court? So you don't have that extra level. All you have is the Tzivoy Ameis. So the Yashiv says, if part of the Yerusha is going to fry a people, then maybe the will is stronger. But if it's all from, he says, he doesn't hold to this far. And he says a very interesting thing. He says that the Minchas Shai says that the Minchas Shai says that Mahari HaLevi, who is also pretty authoritative in his time, the Mahari HaLevi argued with him. So, in one tshuva, he says the Mahari HaLevi argued with him. Then he says, in the next tshuva, that he convinced the Mahari HaLevi.
He didn't argue.
So he says, oh, now I have not just the Minchas Shai, but I have the Mahari HaLevi too. But Zakhtar B'Yashiv, he says, even though the Minchas Shai says the Mahari HaLevi agreed with him, but he says, look at the times of the tshuvas that were written. He says that the last tshuva of the Minchas Shai was written in the year Tuf Reish Nun Aleph. But the Mahari HaLevi was written in Tuf Reish Nun Gimel. And that's where he argues with Minchas Shai. So you can't tell me that the Mahari HaLevi was Choyzer, because he printed his tshuva 2 years later and he didn't take it out of the book. So Zakhtar B'Yashiv, since the Sefer was printed after the last tshuva of Minchas Shai and still Mahari HaLevi argued, so he says, Pashtos, we have to go with the Mahari HaLevi, and he doesn't like this whole psak of the Reb Chaim Oizer. So, based on this, so
Sefer was printed.
That's what he's saying. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, variety could do that. So, that's exactly what he says. What? Oh no! But here Rabbi Yasha says Moritika Dazach. One thing he says at the end is very Sardisdik. So he says there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, and unless there's fry people involved. But then he says like this, Dr. B'Yasha, if you look at the on this page, the second page of the truth of the last paragraph.
Ulfiza
benidon didan, Dr. B'Yasha.
Our situation here.
Shehadiyun hu b'ksafem hamufkadim b'bank, shelofi chukei habankois. Unbelievable Kiddush. If they get bank accounts, so the bank is not going to go and say, a bunch of from Jews come and say, oh, by the way, the Dina Yerusha says it all goes to me, so just transfer the title. Yeah. Right? Dina Yerusha. This is, we're in the United States.
It's also land that has title and deeds and things like that. Why only he's limited to the banks? Once you say, according to Rabbi Yashiv, he's only talking things that are in cash. Because other than that, it's either has a title attached to a property, things like that.
But you
could
gift it. What do you mean? You could gift over a property.
Right, it's going to go based on the will. It's not going to go based on some from guys coming to the court and saying, hey.
I don't know if that's true.
The city,
okay, I don't know exactly the guy there. He says one zach over a bank. You want to know what else it applies to? I'm not sure how
well,
right to take it.
Once he brings in the banks, you can apply to anything that you have to go through legalities to get it. They're not gonna.
It could be stocks.
The bank's
right,
holding it.
No one else holding the title.
Right.
Mortgage. There's a mortgage on the bank.
No, first of all, it's only the mortgage. Second of all,
the title's in the person's name and the will.
He's saying that a bank means that you're mashlish the money to the bank to give out according to the will. That's what he's saying that the bank is called mushlash l'kach because you literally gave it over to the bank, a third party, to give it back to whoever that was going to hold the will. That's entire. So a house is not like that. A house is not like that. It's I own the house, so I was never giving it to someone else to give out.
Unless you have a mortgage.
I don't know if the vart is going through. The vart is it's literally mushlosh lakach because you gave it to a third party. So Zokta Biyashiv, a bank maybe, is given over to a third party. So money in a bank could be that the will have toikis. So that's very certain, Zokta Biyashiv. So basically, what we have over here a couple of shitas that even if you didn't do chshar chatzi zachar and you weren't mechayiv yourself and all you did was a will, we have a couple of shitas here. We have Reb Chaim Oizer and the Minchas Shai that basically says it's called mitzvah l'kayim de remes, and they got to do it. We have Reb Chaim Oizer, we have Reb Yashiv who's maskim in a bank. And now, and if there's fry people involved. And then we have a tremendous chiddush from Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe writes over here, in the end of the packet, there was a Mordechai Shaila that was asked of him. I don't know what the year was, because he doesn't have the year in the tshuva, but it was a long time ago, because it was the Av Bezdin of Patterson. I'm not sure Patterson had an Av Bezdin any time in the last 45 years. So Lemaisa, the Shiloh was like this. The Shiloh was that the woman wrote in her will that she wants to give X amount of money to this yeshiva.
Okay.
Now, it happened to be the husband already made a pledge to the yeshiva. So the husband's taina is I don't have to listen to the will because I'm the Yoyrish. So who cares what she wrote in the will? I'm the Yoyrish, so I get the money. So he says, but you know what? I'll do a pshara. I'll give them the money, but with the money that I'm giving, I want to pop to my pledge. So, and a chanami, I'll give the money, but I want that money to go towards my pledge that I already made.
Okay.
That was the Shiloh. What? Which was more? Yeah. So that was the Shiloh. But basically, so do the Shiloh is. Yeah. So the Shiloh is. The Shiloh basically boils down to can the will trump the Yerusha? The Yerusha says it goes to the husband. The will says it goes to the yeshiva. So what's going to be the psak? So basically, at the end, Rav Moshe says on the next page, I'm not going to read it inside, but if you want to read it inside, he basically says a huge chiddush over here, even more than Reb Chaim Oizer. He says that if you had Gmiras Das, okay, the whole purpose of making a kinyan, what's the purpose of making a kinyan? The whole purpose of making a kinyan is Gmiras Das, that you're very convinced that you're doing an action to show your, I don't know.
Intent.
Your final level of intent that you're giving it away. That's it. You make a kinyan. Every time I want to give you the phone, I say, I'm giving you the phone. Very nice. Maybe I could change my mind. But if I give you the phone and you go ahead and pick it up, then you're showing that it's done, right? So the purpose of a kinyan is to show Gmiras Das. So Dr. Moshe, if someone writes in a will something, and they're pretty convinced that Dina de Malchusa Dina, this star over here, has Tekef in court. So Dr. Moshe, there's such a high level of Gmiras Das that the person had that it's B'mokom a kinyan. And therefore, it's like a mechanism that works simultaneously with the Yerusha, and he has a whole lumdis. The bottom line is it works as a kinyan. Whatever's in a will is done. It works as a kinyan. Because you have it's more than mushlash.
It's more than just Gmiras Das.
Because mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, at the end of the day, Yerusha goes to the sons. And mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, okay, they can keep the money and say Hashamnu. Saying, we're not doing mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. But it doesn't affect the Yerusha. Do they?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but this guy didn't. This lady didn't.
If it was an irreversible will. People change the wills. I don't know if it's
they do,
right. But that's when they're alive.
But she gave it already. It was a kinyan already.
But at the time, no, it's a kinyan tzchal with the Yerusha.
It's a kinyan. That's a good point. If it's a kinyan, how could you change it?
Well, that's part of Moshe's chiddush in his whole mechanism, is that he's making a kinyan of like mechayim. He's making a kinyan to work simultaneous. We're not getting involved in that now. But the point is, he's making a kinyan that's chal simultaneous with the misa. It's a huge chiddush that Moshe comes up with. But Lamaisa wasn't accepted by the most batei dinim. They will not recognize a will just based on Ramaisha. If the only thing that the guy's coming with is Ramaisha, they're not gonna recognize the will because there's a big chiddush on Ramaisha. But at the end of the day, if someone did take a will, right? If someone did take a will, did get a will and did get the money based on the will, it's going to be hard to say you're a ganav. When you're a ganav, unless you have Ramosha.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Right? So you're not going to tell the guy you're a ganav if they have to rely Ramosha to rely on. So therefore, Ramosha could be at least that that you have what to rely on in terms of bidyevet. Now, at the end of the day, the bottom line is like this. If a person writes a will, and he knows the sugyo very well, like we just learned. Hey, why do I have to bother getting halachic input in my estate planning or whatever? I'll just write a will, and I'll make a copy of the pamphlet, and I'll put it in the will, and I'll tell the kid, look at the sugyo. You see, a will is pretty strong, so just follow the will. Lemaisa, you never know. It's not kedai to rely on anything like that, because one of the kids is going to say, I hold like Reb Chaim Weiser. The daughter, yeah, the son-in-law is going to say, I hold like Reb Chaim Weiser, and the son is going to say, I hold like Reb Yashiv.
Yeah,
so,
right. And the daughter is going to say, I hold like Reb
Yashiv. You know? So therefore, lemaisa, to rely on these things is very nice if you want to rely on it, but it's not up to you at that point. At that point, once the Yerusha is Negea, then you're not in the picture anymore. So therefore, it's usually not a good idea to rely on any of these things. And the best is to taka follow the halachic mechanism that is described already by all the poiskim of the shtar, of however the mechanism is, or shtar chatzizachar, or whatever the mechanism is. That way, because that shtar is also recognizable in court and bezdin, and then you get out of all the issues. Okay, so I think that this wraps up. Daniel Damachusa.
A good Israel has a halachic will that you can get for free from them.
I'm sure they do.
Depends if what the Yorshim would have got more mogul. Let's say the boys are mogul to the
daughter. Get it from me.
Your share of the.